All right, welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Chris Hondris, as all, well, almost as always, I should say. Same with me. Same with me. Yeah, same with me. I've missed a couple, so it was acceptable you were away last week. If this is your first time joining us, apologies in advance, maybe, but check us out. Yeah, we got a time frame. I got to catch a train later. There's only four games. This is MWCConnection.com. That's the website where you can read our stuff, where it's more straightforward and less nonsense. But if you like the nonsense, tune in every time for this show. Catch an iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, and soon-to-be Google Play integration podcasting. Is that a word?
Very nice. Integration, yes. Integration is a word.
Okay, just making sure. I thought I was saying something else because I kind of thought as I was talking, I'm like, the sentence wasn't too clear, but check us out on Google Music within the next few months. We're also on Facebook. We are. Hey, we're almost at 2,000 likes on Facebook. That's always nice.
Hey,
Mountain West Connection. We're getting close to 2,000 on Twitter. It's MWC Connection. So check all that stuff. We got basketball going on right now. We got our first question in right away. That's always nice. We'll get to that later, but we have only four games this week. Four games. That is somewhat exciting because we can watch other games if we wish to.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if you're like me, you'll
do stuff.
Actually find things to do. That's great. Because the grading period is next week.
That's right. So we'll get to games. The news, I submitted our power poll today. I think it's up right now. Did you happen to, I shouldn't be voted, right?
Yeah.
Did you vote along the lines with everybody else putting San Diego State number one?
No. What?
Yeah. Oh, it looks like the poll.
Our West writers are getting a little bit handy there.
Hey, I voted San Diego State number one.
Yeah, well, you know, that's nice you can do that.
The breakdown, there's 10 San Diego State.
Right.
Same with you.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. For my students, I'm always right, so therefore I like to always think that I'm right.
Well, I'm not one of your students here.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
No, okay.
Pretty sure, so. 10 first place votes for San Diego State, 6 for Boise State. Utah State drops to 3rd. This is the first time the West, since we've been doing this consistently, the power poll, which I know we haven't over the years, I believe this is the first time since Derek Carr was in the conference that a West team is number one.
Yeah.
Because we had Colorado State last year, who apparently nobody liked at all, with the Rams being number one for a good portion. It was Boise State and maybe Utah State a week or so. But yeah, congrats to Aztecs. They have an easy schedule the rest of the way out, pretty much, until they...
That's the
only game, yeah, the Colorado State game. But let's start. We'll go in order because, again, we do have a time frame tonight, so we got to not hustle, but we can't be leisurely walking down the beach or anything for tonight's show.
I can,
essentially. It's me. So if you want to take over when I'm gone, you can do that at the end for a few minutes, but
yay.
That sounds like a no. Also, really quick, I know you like the international soccer. Did you hear about Sepp Blatter today, his comments?
Something U.S. should have had 2022?
Yeah, pretty much. That sucks, but...
Well, you know, when the money's high enough, FIFA always adheres to bribery.
Yeah, when a Prince of Qatar joins you for lunch, he changes your tune quite a bit. He gets those gold bars you get from the ATM there in Dubai, right?
Exactly.
All right, let's get to actual gridiron, or as they call it over there, but college football, the best thing ever. We have a Friday night game, Utah State hosting Wyoming, 8:15 Mountain, 7:15 out there on the West Coast. Do you recall what the trophy is for this game? Correct. Jim Bridger, who was an explorer out in Wyoming. I've actually been to Fort Bridger many a times, just on the border there. Just outside Park City and right into Wyoming. It's basically nothing, but that's what this is for. It's a rifle. Is the cannon better than a rifle? As for trophy-wise?
The cannon is better than the rifle, but overall the Mountain West is thinking like we're winning the trophy game, and typically.
Even more so than the Big Ten?
No, because the Big Ten has literally a trophy for anything that doesn't involve guns.
They have an axe, a jug.
The only thing that really, you know, the Big Ten has on us is they've got Paul Bunyan's axe.
But it's not big like Paul Bunyan, so it's just an axe, really.
Exactly.
So, but this game, yeah, it's what? I guess the rival's new, even though they played quite a bit. But Utah State, do you want to play the line game? Do you know what the line is yet? Have you checked on it?
I think it was Utah State 28.
Ooh, 28 points. And we're starting to get cold weather. Today was about 40 degrees in the morning, and this is the 8:15 game. Because Logan's essentially Laramie of Utah, weather-wise, and coldness and wind that could come hustling through the mountains there. I'm just saying, Wyoming has no chance, right? Can we just wrap it up and say Wyoming? Sorry, next year, is it time to wrap it up?
It depends on how Utah State comes out, but yeah, I mean Wyoming shouldn't have a chance in here. The fact of the matter is they kept it decent against Boise State, 34-14, last week. But and the offense looks good, but the defense is just there's too many holes. Now on the flip side, you have Utah State, which just looked absolutely abysmal last week. And so I think this 28 points is way, way, way too high. And Utah State still has some holes right there at the defensive line. But I mean, Utah State should have no problems handling by Wyoming. I'm going to say, I don't think it's going to be 28. I think it's going to be 14 to 20 points. But I just, yeah.
Here's a few reasons why I'm leaning toward, not that Wyoming will win, but look what Donnell Pumphrey and Chase Price did last week. And Brian Hill's arguably as good or better than Donnell Pumphrey. He's fourth in the nation in rushing yards. He was just added to the Doak Walker Award midseason watch list. He is the only offense they have. And then also, but then I had to counter that with Cameron Kaufman just recently now downgraded to doubtful with a shoulder injury. Still have a, shoot, who is it? We wrote an article on it here. We'll get to the second. But basically, starting quarterback Cameron Kaufman is out. Doubtful. That's close enough, right? Nick Smith. Excuse me. I was saying Nick Stevens, but that's a different team. Nick Smith will be getting to start redshirt freshman. And, well, he hasn't played much. And if he's not better than Kaufman, you know what I mean? How's that going to work out for you?
Kaufman's been extremely efficient this year. But he hasn't had to throw tons. But you're also talking about Brian Hill, who, and this is where you're saying arguably as good as Donnell Pumphrey, if not better. And this horrible season for Wyoming, guess what? Brian Hill has three less carries than Pumphrey does, but over 100 yards more.
And that's interesting.
He doesn't have the touchdowns to back up Pumphrey's stats.
That's true. And that's a little bit surprising just because of how much Wyoming has been down. Just because he's getting less carries. You'd think he'd get less carries because they're losing by getting blown out by multiple teams.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look, okay, North Dakota, he only had 31 yards. But then you look Eastern Michigan, 242. Washington State, 139. Then New Mexico, a strange game, 49. But Appalachian State, that is Sun Belt leading Appalachian State possible dark horse.
No. First place vote somehow. Were you the one who gave them the first place vote? Was it you?
I did not, but...
Okay, so making sure.
Bill Connolly's S&P ratings right now have Appalachian State fourth.
I don't care. Sorry, Bill, I don't trust you anymore. Fourth overall, are you serious? And everything, like the overall F&P?
Look, I'm going to underdogdynasty.com right now. Okay, there's your plug, Nick.
It just shocks me because they haven't played a group of five, a Power Five team. App State has become a legit group of five power. Is that the one? The one that's on the front page?
No, it wasn't that.
It's the link inside the article. It looks like their advanced statistical profile has them 6-1.
They're ranked 20th in the S&P rating, which is the highest rank of any group of five team. And the F plus ranking, they're 28th.
So they're not number four. No, it's okay.
You know who their own low loss was this year?
I don't recall off the top of my head.
Their low loss is possibly against the best team in the country right now. Clemson.
Oh, Clemson. Okay. They're good, but I don't think they have a chance to get that spot.
Well, I think the reason why they don't have a chance is because the AAC is a pretty stronger conference. There's no doubt about that.
No, it's true, especially if Temple beats Notre Dame, that'll change a lot of things, because I was thinking Temple is the worst of that group, but their defense is quite good. They shut down ECU, who can put up points. So let's get back to Wyoming. Let's get to the actual teams we talk about a bit. If Coffin's not playing, Gentry's banged up. He probably going to play, but it's not entirely sure. But I believe that's the case. I don't see any updates, but I just want to see Kent Myers do. This has to be a game where he puts up good points, good numbers, good everything against a Wyoming secondary that's not good at all.
I want to see Utah State's linebacking core come back against, like I said, possibly the best running back in the conference. Yes, I know. I'm going to get a whole bunch of people saying, No, Pumphrey. Hale has the stats to back it up. And if Pumphrey wasn't on SDSU, would Pumphrey have the same exact stats as a worse team?
It depends. It varies. I don't know.
I'm just asking you to consider that.
I would say if Hill was on a better team, he'd put up better numbers. So
yeah. If you put Hill on Boise State right now, forget McNichols. Hill would just be tearing it up.
Yeah, that would be correct.
Tearing it up on Wyoming. And he's tearing it up on Wyoming. So anyway, I think they're not going to run away with it, but I think it's going to be a safe 14 to 20 point victory.
Yeah, I'm in the same area. I just want to see Kent Myers have a big game and bounce back, because San Diego State has a really good defense. So that's why I want to see they just take advantage of this team that they should easily beat, and by quite a bit. Just four touchdowns is a lot of points. And I think they'll look to see what the Aztecs did with Price and Pumphrey and follow that same game plan in, hopefully, or attempt to expose that. You pick. Yeah, Boise State.
UNLV, 12:30 Pacific time, which is funny because it's the day game at San Boyd State.
What?
Yeah.
Inconceivable.
That's actually usual. I've been to many day games at San Boyd, so that's actually not out of the ordinary. Boise State favored by 20. It would be expected, but are you surprised that it's only by 20?
I was about to say that. I figured, I get UNLV is probably better than Wyoming, but I figure Boise would be closer to three touchdowns. Oh, I mean, not three, that's 1 point, but closer to what Utah State Wyoming at 28 points is compared to 20. UNLV, they can do a few things right, but I don't see them really covering, just because, like we said, UNLV, they've been getting better, but they don't do anything particularly great on any aspects of the ball. They don't run the ball. Wyoming can run the ball well. Teams can do, like, Rams have a good receiver. They don't do anything exceptionally well, and Boise State does a lot of things really good.
Yeah, but UNLV at the same time hasn't needed to. Remember, this is the same thing where we talk about, they're 2-5, and I consider that a success on the year this year. But you're talking about a team who was the only points against Michigan close. They were the only team to score points against Michigan for four games until Michigan State came back in. They got blown out by UCLA, but once again, it wasn't expected. And then they kept it close, and then they managed the last 2 weeks to sneak to basically smash the feet out of the jaws of victory. And they've done it multiple times this year. I think UNLV is a lot better than you've given them credit for and everybody else. But at the same time, I think Boise State getting their step back against Wyoming last week, knowing what they can do, having McNichols back, I can't see this as like anything but at least 20 points.
I'm wondering if there's some consideration because Wyoming made it somewhat close last week, but if you look at the first half score, Boise was easily ahead. They just kind of coasted, like against Hawaii. They got up big and then just kind of, well, we're up big. We'll just kind of not go conservative, but not try to score, not try to go downfield or do these big plays. I don't see. It's true.
Think about it. Utah State played their starters all four quarters against Boise State.
They did. They. They want to make a statement. That's why, like, we're going to beat the best team.
But what if they hadn't? Boise State would have easily come back in the game. I would argue, because Utah State didn't have that depth. Boise State had that depth for years, where their backups are competitive against a weaker opponent, no matter what.
Yeah, like UNLV or San Jose State years ago. Yeah, their backups were just about close to on par with those starters. I what do you think? Is Keith Whitley going to do anything? Blake Decker? Are they going to throw the ball well? I just don't see Rebels having enough of, like I said, they don't wow me anywhere. Defense is pretty good because they look at Nevada. They made some good stops. They have Ian Sale. Or no, excuse me, that's Nevada. Sorry. They have defenders on this team that can make some plays, but I think this is going to be like the Wyoming game, probably a 3-touchdown win.
Maybe it's a 35-0 game at half, and then all of a sudden UNLV scores 3 points to get them stuck in. With that being said, that 20 points to me is really, really tempting.
That? For which way? For Boise? Yeah? For Boise, right?
Yeah. I'm going to say Boise State by 21. I'm going to say they cover, but only barely.
I do, too, because like we've seen them, NIU, Michigan. They've played teams pretty close. UNLV has. UCLA, reasonably close. So I think you're right. It'll be close for, like, Boise will be in hand by a couple of touchdowns. They may get a field goal touchdown in the second half, but it'll be, they're up 28-0.
This game will never be out of hand for Boise State. Like, UNLV will never get back into this game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They'll do things to ruin the spread.
I can see that. I could maybe be in the case, but I'd still take Boise by 4 touchdowns. Like the UC Michigan game, 28-7 or something like that, or whatever it was. All right, let's move on. Game, other game. The only downside about these four games is that there's two at the exact same time for some reason. San Diego State at Colorado State, CBS Sports Network, 12:30 Pacific time, but it's played in Fort Collins, so that's 1:30 there for the Rams. I'm assuming this is your game of the week or something along those lines, the best matchup.
Yeah, I think this would be a game of the week. Fairly obvious.
I'm surprised they're favored at all, really. I know.
Okay.
Do you like me to explain or something? Well, besides being at home, Aztecs, they seem to play to who they're playing against for the most part. See Southern Alabama. Penn State, they're pretty close to the route. They didn't beat Fresno State or Hawaii by that much, only 2 touchdowns. They showed up pretty good against San Jose State, but when they play teams that are not as good as them, they're outside of Utah State, which is not the norm by any means. I just am surprised it's not the other way for Colorado State. And I know it's dumb to say, well, it's just they play to the competition they're presented with, but that's what Aztecs normally do. And that's kind of a dumb excuse, but look at what Rocky Long has done forever. They never blow anybody out, really. It's pretty rare. Like, if there's a bad team, they're not going to win 50-0 very often or something convincingly. Well, 23 points is 30-7 is a good win. Not discounting that at all, but it's not like a throat stomping or a crushing victory. But they did dominate a good team. They are improving, so I'm probably wrong because they're on the upswing, but it is only 2 games, but again, the Rams, they have Rashard Higgins, and I like him quite a bit. And I'm thinking if there's a lot of points to be had, which could be the case in this game, assuming Pumphrey goes well, but it really, honestly, it all comes back to what are they going to do with Maxwell Smith? Because he's, sorry, but he's awful.
No.
You can try. I think they found a way to play him the right way with like maybe 10 or 15 passes, something like that, where he's not throwing very much. And so that's where the Rams would need a defense to step into this game and force Pumphrey on short yardage to not get those yardage. Don't give short yardage situations, either Price or Pumphrey, because if we've seen if Maxwell Smith has to pass, he's still at 49.7% on the season, and that includes three games of over 60%, including two over 71%. And he's still not at 50% yet. So that's where I'm coming at.
No, I get what you're saying. But that being said, then, I mean, there's still this week, because there are times where Colorado State has looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, I mean, my main example is, for example, last week versus Air Force, where they should have had really no chance versus Air Force, and then all of a sudden they just came out and dominated.
Well, look at. Go ahead.
Yeah, they should have beat Minnesota. They didn't. They should have beat Colorado. Didn't. Barely beat UTSA. So then maybe they're playing for that competition as well.
A little bit, I can see that. But look at the past two. I don't count the Boise game when he was 8 of 10. That's nothing. But Air Force 23-30. He 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Only had 2 in his past 4 games. If Nick, I think it'll come down. There's a couple things. I could say one thing, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to go right for the Rams to win, I think. They need to get Higgins involved in the passing game, and I think that's possible because the Aztec secondary, it's okay. It's nothing great, but I think if they get Higgins involved, that'll open up the running game, and Nick Stevens is good enough to beat up on pretty much any defense in the conference because the Aztecs pass defense, they are giving up just under 200 yards per game. Yeah, maybe I give a little more credit. They have 11 picks, so that is an issue there. But I still think Nick Stevens is a good enough quarterback to make plays, and Higgins is the best receiver they would have faced so far. Is that they got Hunter Sharp and probably the guys from Cal. That's probably whoever you want to pick out from Cal. Yeah. It's just they just have a lot of guys who are really good, but not a great guy. Winston. It's okay. I'm excited too. It's okay.
Hunter Sharp did bring him for a touchdown last week. But at the same time,
that was it.
That was pretty much it. Higgins is more elusive than Sharp.
Yeah, Sharp's like not a one note guy, but his game is the deep ball. And I think it was he had 42 yards, one catch, and 49, I want to say, overall on a handful of receptions. So, and Higgins, he hasn't been great this year, but he's still third in the conference. He's only getting 7 receptions a game, but he still has 4 TDs, averaging well over a first down per catch. It's going to come down to that happening. Open up the running game where it's Dalen Dawkins or whoever could run the ball. I know they have a couple guys for the Rams back there, but Jason Oden too. Yeah, that's a big deal. Let's talk more Aztecs because I think this has been more Ram heavy than it needed to be. It's, in my opinion, Pumphrey, Munson and Price are the ways they're going to win this game. They have, I think you said last week, or maybe it was with Matt, like the San Diego State probably has the best linebacking group in the conference.
Yeah, I can't make a case for Feely because Feely had way too many personal fouls against him last week. I think he's become more aggressive as a player.
Relax though, pal. He's got to relax a little bit.
Absolutely. But Munson, on the other hand, Munson's just been amazing this year.
Do you think he could be player of the year in the conference defensively?
I think that we have an argument for him being the player of the year, yes.
We don't need to discuss it now. I'm trying to think. I guess we can always go Fackrell and Vigil and stuff like that. That's a pretty simple and safe answer to go with. I think the main thing, it's simple. Pumphrey and Price, and don't let if San Diego State can make Maxwell Smith throw the ball 10 times, that's it.
Pumphrey and Price versus the Colorado State defensive core, okay?
Will be tough.
And then your other matchup is just Higgins and Higgins connection. Because we know that unlike what Utah State, last week, last week, and then we only have one more game to talk about. Oh, good lord.
Got a bit of news as well, but yeah, you're right.
The game last week, you're talking about Ken Myers was 8 for 19.
Yeah, not good.
And Max Smith, on the other hand, was only 6 for 10. But you're just talking about, you know, like I said, if Kent Myers was 8 for 19, Nick Saban's a much better quarterback than Kent Myers in that situation. And also, I mean, the Saints were coming hard. So the best way to, you know, basically beat out the San Diego State linebacking core, that 3-3-5 defense, is you're basically having those short slant out passes that are quick to hit because they're going to be blitzing hard. You're not going to get time to throw up the middle. So Stevens could just hit the passes out quickly in the wrinkles and screens, or if he gets enough time to just step up and bomb to Higgins. Either way, I don't think Higgins should be number one option for your target, but if he's got space, then Higgins is definitely your number one guy.
Yeah, he should be. I think, like, I was checking up some stats while you're chatting there about the Rams' rush defense. I'm probably going to take an asterisk.
Kevin Cartwright, the tight end, should be your number one option in this game, if you're Colorado State.
I can see that, yeah, with the way the defense is running. Get him involved because tight end's middle of the field and sideline a little bit. That'll open Higgins down the road eventually, and then obviously if you get the running game going too. Because you can use Cartwright for the middle and then even the running backs a little bit to kind of mix up and kind of not confuse the defense, but just make them cover that. But yeah, getting Cartwright involved is huge. But looking at the rush defense, the Rams aren't as good as I thought they were. They've already given up 12 touchdowns, including an astonishing 11 in their last four games, six in their last two, giving up almost 5 yards of carry. And they are, 200 yards per game giving up. And that could do them in if they don't somehow slow down those two backs. And I don't know if they really can. I'm going to go with the Aztecs to win a cover. I'm just surprised the line wasn't more favorable to the Rams, but I think I'm not going to speak for you, but I think you can rebuttal obviously, but I think you would agree either team can win this game.
Yeah. And the fact that the line is only switched to San Diego State only at a -3.5, I honestly was expecting, you know, San Diego State 7 or 8 point favorites. Because that 3.5, but I think the line's telling us something that we don't know. I'm going to go ahead and call my stupid upset pick of the week. Colorado State wins this one.
Interesting. You better stay indoors and hide there in San Diego while this game goes on if you're picking this.
Oh, come on. Let's be honest. Astros fans don't care enough to hunt me down.
If this is basketball, they might, right? The show.
What's funny is that my work, I've got a Colorado State fan in my department, and so it's hilarious that we're just kind of telling off all the
Excellent. I'm going to go, I think that's, I want to pick the Rams, but I know I think Aztecs will get it done just because the running game's too much. Because again, Colorado State, Higgins has done just okay. Their running defense isn't that great. They don't have anybody really great defensively, I trust. Unless it's Nick Stevens goes off and goes big, it's a possibility. But I'm going with the hot team, and that's San Diego State. So they're going to win by about 7 to 10 points, I think. Final game. Late game. So we got a big break. This is 4:30 Hawaiian time, 8:30 Mountain time for Air Force at Hawaii. This is a CBS Sports Network game. So not our favorite announcer. Well, good announcers, but not our favorite announcer on the call.
Yeah, sorry.
But it's okay. Air Force by a touchdown. That seems a bit low. So?
You forget that if the normal home team advantages are like -3 for the home team, Hawaii jumps it up to obviously like -7, despite how bad they are, just because of that trip.
True. I guess Max Wittig, he isn't getting more healthy. You got Paul Harris, maybe the same guys we mentioned, Marcus Kemp, but I don't. Hawaii's just on a downturn. They're lost, five? They've lost 5 in a row, lost to Nevada after having a big lead. So there is some confidence there where they had that lead going forward. They're leading 17 zip, but their defense failed them and offense couldn't keep going in the third and fourth quarter. So they. I'm not saying they're overall that bad, but look at Wittick last week. I don't. Who would you say is a better defense, Nevada or Air Force?
You talk about Ian Thayer versus Weston Steelhammer.
Sure.
I think Air Force has a better defense.
Okay, and then Steelhammer's in the secondary.
Anderson last week in 14 for 39. After he had just basically decimated UNLV the week before.
Yeah, I feel like
that was just one game magic for Anderson, too.
There's that, too. They're about 180 yards difference between overall offense. One thing, the reason I'm thinking it's lower, because I think we did discuss this tweet in the preview show, like what Air Force guy is going to step up and run the ball. Because last, 2 weeks ago when we were chatting, there was just a bunch of guys running the ball, and it was Carson Roberts leading the way with, 70 yards and 20 carries, and he's not really the running quarterback. But then last week, yeah, he had the four touchdowns, but it was, who was it, I got it up here, Jacoby. Yeah, and then Robert saw 92. Yeah, I had the wrong box score up in front of me. But the week before, because that's what we wanted to see, one guy to get the bulk of the carries. And they ran more. They ran 79 compared to 56. But the week before, is Robert's 24, then it was like Shane Doreen, Jacoby Owens had 8, Brent Washington, 9 carries. They didn't even have a Driscoll in that game last week. Oh, yeah, this is weird. Driscoll had one carry for 4 yards against the Rams, but then he goes off and has, where'd it go here? You just mentioned it, 12 for 144.
Yeah, so I think Jacoby Owens is going to lead this rushing game like he showed last week. And I, you know, who's defense is worse? Why is there Fresno State? It's about even. So,
good point.
I would say though that Hawaii has faced much tougher teams this year.
Oh, of course.
And so I think as a result, they're kind of more battle tested, and
but also hurt.
I'm
just glad Air Force had a guy going like Jacoby Owens, 23 carries. You don't want Carson Roberts to be your main back with 24 rushes, like you had versus the Rams. This is going to be just run, and I expect the same thing last week, this week, with not necessarily big runs, but having Owens be the guy, then Driscoll or Roberts or Benton Washington, whoever it may be, but it's going to be, they're going to have their one guy in charge, and then I don't think they'll have 80 carries, but 60, and if you have Driscoll, or excuse me, Owens getting 20 of those, get a third of the carries, that's about right, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, it's going to be a blowout. So I'm going to probably watch the first half, and that's probably all I need to watch on this game is the first half. We'll see, but that's our show pretty much. We're at 34 minutes right now. We do have news. I'm not going to get out here in 10 minutes anyway. So we do have a question first. Where did the question go? We had boom, boom, boom. Boom. Everybody's retweeting my news. Oh, we had. We have something special because our Matt Kennerly and then was going to help me out with some stuff. He sent me a few notes because I jokingly, hey, let's do an article about versus the bye week in Fresno State. And then he's out of town for some conference in Arizona because he's in his MFA program for Fresno. And then our guy Scott Terzian didn't plan on writing just because, hey, bye week, probably not much going on. So look for something. I'm trying to find it super quick here. There's something Matt sent some notes over, kind of a jokingly. Part of it's obviously don't get in trouble. Don't break the law and all that type of stuff. Let me give you a tease of what we had here. Where is this? This is excellent stuff. Oh, here we go. Okay. One, don't violate team rules and or athletic department policy. And that's self-explanatory. Hope Dave Schramm finds some inspiration for the offense on a vision quest in the desert. Seeing he's expected to be in Arizona recruiting this week, so maybe his rental car breaks down and meets with Coyote version of Johnny Cash while stranded. And then if anybody...
I'll be sure to tell Dave Schramm that if I see him in the next 2 days.
Are you going to be in Arizona? Ah, good point. Dope. Number three, don't trip over anything and hurt yourself. Put the season in perspective, guys. Build confidence for the November stretch run. provide an alternate viewing schedule for upcoming weekend's action. You can watch Wyoming Utah State on Friday night. UCF Cincinnati, that could be, UCF's pretty bad. Florida Air National, Florida Atlantic. Idaho, New Mexico State.
I will be watching that game.
Why? Because Idaho's top receiver's out. Anyone see them get beat?
No. I will be watching the game. I think we're trying to do something special for Underdog Dynasty.
Oh, is it with the TV thing?
Yeah, the TV thing's not working, but we're definitely going to try something. Whether it's our New Mexico State drinking game, like extensive, or, I mean, something else.
Careful what you wish for in those game, bad games, because if you have a bad square on there, I don't want any liver poisoning or anything.
Have you not seen our New Mexico State drinking game?
I have not, no.
Oh, I'm going to send this over to you right now.
Okay, send it over. And then if you want a Power 5 matchup, build confidence, Oklahoma and Kansas. So I'll post something like that together, those notes, give credit to Matt and everything, and maybe Scott will contribute if he has time, because he did a funny piece about a couple weeks ago about keys to victory. That was crazy. All right, I'll check that link in a moment. I got to take off in a few. But the news, apparently this news snuck under the radar last summer. I'd got a ton of retweets just now, but Chris Murray, and who I know he loves getting credit, not that he's vain or anything, but he doesn't like when people steal his stuff and don't credit or link back or just steal it outright. So Chris Murray, this is for you, because I link back and added my own opinion, which he agrees with, not this case, but in general. Again, don't steal crap. That's all it is. You know the Mountain West TV structure bonus that Boise gets a big chunk of it because they're Boise State and to keep them in the league. They got five of their six home games on ESPN and then any game on ABC, basically over the air, ESPN, ESPN2, you get a hefty bonus. Half mil Saturday, 300K weeknight. And then it also inadvertently, which makes sense, I never thought about this, I don't know if you have, but the Mountain teams itself get an advantage because they play Boise compared to the West, who does not play Boise State every year. And so I never thought about, but yeah, it's a great insight. So during the summer, a deal was changed, and we put this on our site, so check that out and definitely read the whole thing from Chris Murray. It's a bit more info than I added. But basically, all the money out of the 10 teams, Hawaii has their own TV deal, so don't chime in about that. They have their own, I think, $2 million TV deal or somewhere around there, so they don't get any bonus money. But basically, any team that plays Boise State and there's a bonus money involved, that all that money gets pooled and divided by the 10 teams.
What?
Boise still keeps their own share, though. They still keep their chunk. So they're getting $500,000. But say there's one game that's $500,000, instead of playing San Diego State or something, they don't play them, but if they're on ESPN and it's 500K, basically each team gets 50,000 of that game.
Ridiculous.
You don't agree with that at all? I think it's the right move to do. I can see that as well. Like maybe if it's divided by 10, maybe give that team playing the game. Because the thing is, here's the thing, what they're probably getting at. It's not like they earned the game. They're always going to play Boise no matter what. So this, and also again, this only, I should reread that because this just popped into my mind. Oh no, this is only against Boise State. So this doesn't count. It's like if I think Navy went to San Jose State last year, if that's on ESPN or ESPN2, your team still gets that money. This is, in a sense, only when you play Boise State, if I'm reading this correctly. And if I wrote it correctly, I may have to do a quick edit, but I believe it's anytime you play Boise State, the money's shared. So if there's San Jose State, San Diego State on ESPN2, or like this weekend example, Wyoming, Utah State, that's a $300,000 game per school. If I'm correct on this, and I put this out a bit too hastily maybe, it seems like those two teams get the money. It's just when you play Boise, it's shared. So that makes more sense. Were you kind of thinking any game would be shared?
Yeah, I was thinking any game would be shared, but that's okay.
That's what it looks like here. Yeah, I may need to reword that, but that's what, and I think that's a smart move to do. But I think I agree with you. Give the team playing them a little bit more, because if it's 10% across the board, maybe give them 12% and split the rest up. I don't know. Yeah. But again,
equivalent, then you're going to get a little bit more. I mean, you're not going to get as much as Boise State, but you're going to get a little bit more than what you would if you had just, between 10 teams.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Something's beeping here. Is that your computer beeping?
No, I've got headphones.
Interesting. I get beeping through my headphones here. Well, maybe it's my Facebook. I don't know. Whatever. I just hear a lot of beeping. Like the when you sent me the message, I'm like, oh, that must be it. Sorry. Sorry, folks. We'll keep this in. We're not editing this out. No way. We don't edit too much. We like to keep it real. I think it's a good deal because this is the only conference that still doesn't split up nationally televised game money. Because not even the Big 12 does it with Texas anymore. They get their LHN money, but not overall money. So. That was kind of the big news we had. So I think that's a pretty big deal. I'm surprised because I've seen like the guys from Idaho Statesman, all sorts of guys. Oh, here's a $500,000 game for this team. But it's now coming out now from Chris Murray. But it seems like this was done over the past summer. And I'm assuming this will appease a certain fan base in Southern California. Maybe. Or will they still find another way to complain about who hosts a title game like they did again this past week? Come on, Aztec fans, relax. You're in San Diego. How are people uptight there? Come on, you're right there. Are they uptight? Or are they relaxed and good weather, good food?
You know, they're uptight because you have your hardcore sports fans who think that San Diego's like a sports town. It should be a sports town.
But it's not.
When in reality, the reason why they're not a sports town is because of the rest of the population. I came back to this, I went to a concert at Delmar Racetrack, and they're going to bring it back next year, but there was complaints that the noise was too loud.
Jeez, come on. At 6 o'clock, too, probably, right?
No, it was 10 o'clock, but, I mean, that being said, still.
Give it to 11, right? I think 11's reasonable.
Well, yeah.
Ooh, even sadder. Come on. There was, we're going to wrap up here really quick, but there's when Utah was in the Mountain West in 04. You know, you made it big time when people complained of the late night football games being too loud in your neighborhood, and it gets put on ESPN and CBS and Yahoo when you get a little article about noise ordinance or people complaining about noise of late football games. That's when you know you've made it, right? So if San Diego State complains about a noise ordinance for an Aztecs home game for football, then you know you've made it, right? You get my point, though, right? You understand. All right, so that's our show tonight. We made it the brisket. We've got the 40 minutes, and I got to hustle out of here. But check us out, mwcconnection.com, podcast section, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, soon to be Google. So whenever that comes out, if you have Google Music, we'll be there eventually, SoundCloud. Leave us a review. We haven't had a review in a long time. I would appreciate a review. Like I say every week, 5 stars, but tell us how you really feel, correct? Is that the best way to go about it? So, yeah, check us out there. Again, Chris Andres there, Greek Padre. Let's get him some more Twitter followers. Follow us to MWC Connection. Again, we got 4 games this weekend. So just hang back, relax, and check those out. And let's hope your team does well this week.